Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities, and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
I pray the Lord, my soul today, that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord, my soul today, that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another mini episode. Really sorry that we didn't get this out last week, but you know, things are crazy. School's starting back up and I've got a lot on my plate, but I didn't want you to miss part two of this great interview with Jeff Webb. He was such an accommodating guest, and as always, I'm fascinated by the machinations of capitalism and branding and marketing. So in this next section, we will be talking more about the response to, quote, woke capitalism and what consumers can do moving forward. And Jeff answers some of my questions. Please enjoy part two of my interview with Jeff Webb. Okay, so I'm a new CEO. Let's say I'm a new CEO. I'm starting this company. I'm building my business. I've got a decent size employee base. Let's say I've got 20 to 50 employees. We're starting to grow. I want to be a CEO that just sells something and doesn't get into the market of political ideas. But my employees are, you know, Twitter warriors. They like being on Twitter. They see the things. How do I balance? Not because I feel like we're almost in a place now where just to stay silent is an indictment, you know, draws indictment from people. There are people who, you know, get mad if a company doesn't come out. In fact, I saw a list once, I think from Black Lives Matter, that was like,
here are all the companies that haven't supported Black Lives Matter. You know, it's like, wasn't a list of companies that support them. It was a list of companies that didn't vocally support them. And they may have supported them, but they just didn't do it vocally. Right. And so how do I navigate this growing, discomfort from the HR sector as a CEO while still being aware that these are subjects that both my employees and my consumers are engaged in?
Yeah. Well, I think that you can't really control what they do personally, kind of outside of work, mm-hmm. unless, of course, they talk about the business or other employees or, you know, doing something that could ostensibly hurt the company, right, or people within it. If they've got their own political views, they can do that. I think that you're going to see a growing trend toward companies and CEOs going, we're not going to allow this kind of political discourse at the office. Mm. Doesn't have a place here. It's hurting our company, because it will hurt these companies as things go along.
Yeah.
If you think that Coca-Cola hasn't gone through a lot of upheaval based on the things that have happened, I mean, even look at professional sports. Look what they're going through. Look at their ratings. And really, it's just as a result of it's not only the players, it's also the kind of the business people, the officers, and because they're companies as well, right? So, but I think you're going to find more and more companies going, this is what we're going to do. And I was talking to a friend the other day about a technology company, had 300 employees. And this just kept creeping in. It became more and more distracting. And once you got people going at each other and their feelings hurt personally, they can't work together. They're not concentrating. And they finally had a meeting and he said, we're not going to discuss this. We're not going to do this anymore at the office. You're welcome to have your own personal opinions. And he got a lot of blowback. And
oh, wow.
he had 50 people resign.
Seriously?
You know what he said? Yeah. And you know what he said? We're better off for it.
Nice.
So
yes,
I mean, at some point you're going to have to go through a little pain to get to where you need to go to position the company to really succeed in the future.
What do you think of the NFL players kneeling or professional athletes kneeling for the anthem or using the anthem or that pre-game time to launch a protest? This is a hot topic here on Just Listen to Yourself. I have put out several episodes regarding the issue. My producer and I disagree on this vehemently. I don't like it. That might just be my old conservative mom. Like, you guys play. I don't want to see the rest of this. I mean, I'm all for social justice, but then my producer says, well, know that this is an important platform and, you know, that they have the right to do this. And it's about getting eyes on your cause. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think it's the same thing. It's injecting politics of the individual. Let's call them employees. They're players, right?
Yes.
Injecting politics into the business equation. I think it's not good. I think it's very offensive to a lot of people who look at the national anthem in a game as, well, this is a time when we're all together, we have our differences, but we all are together. They're our differences, but we're still a team, mm-hmm. all of us, not just the players, but everybody. We're still a team. And by standing with respect, it shows respect for each other, right? And I think that's very important. When you don't, in effect, you're disrespecting a certain percentage of the people. And I think, frankly, that's proven in the ratings.
Mm.
Look at what have you seen what's happened to the NBA ratings? The
cratering.
I mean, NFL is the same way. I think that gives you the proof, that gives you the statistical proof that it's harmful to the enterprise, right? To the franchise. So,
I think the other thing is that these, especially the players and the people who support this stuff, I don't think that they understand the makeup of the audience. It's not about you not having the right to express your displeasure with what's going on, but these situations are actually way more nuanced than can be expressed with a t-shirt on the basketball court or kneeling on the sidelines. And so like my most popular episode on this show is on Black Lives Matter. It's the most downloaded episode of the show. And I talk about the difference between the organization and the sentiment. Of course, we all believe Black Lives Matter. You know, who's going to stand up and say Black Lives don't matter? But the organization is super shady and has been doing some shady stuff and has been burning down people's businesses. And so if I see my favorite NBA player, whom I've bought his products and, you know, all his sponsorship stuff, I buy that. I see him on the court with a Black Lives Matter T-shirt, and I'm from Portland, where my business has been taken over by Black Lives Matter protests.
Right.
That's hurtful to me, not because I don't believe in the quote, the cause, but because you're supporting it without any discussion or thought, which you cannot have on the basketball court. You're there to play basketball. It makes me feel like you hate my point of view without even hearing me out. But I'm a captive audience to your point of view.
Exactly. And so what are your choices to react to that? Well, first of all, I'm not going to watch anymore. And guess what? I'm not going to buy any more of your merchandise, yours or the NBA's or whatever, or the NFL. So, and I think it's happening. I mean, I think it's gradually happening that these companies are losing business. They're losing market share. They don't want to talk about it. If you listen to these sports organizations, our TV, we just signed the biggest television contract yet or whatever, but they don't talk about the half empty stands and the decline in merchandise revenue. So I just think it's the perfect kind of visible proof that going in this direction is not the best thing for the franchise.
Should people boycott? What do you think about boycotts? We on the conservative side talk about this a lot. I know liberals have no problem boycotting, and I mean Chick-fil-A is a great example of that, and also a great example of how it kind of spurred sales in effect. The counter protests sort of boosted Chick-fil-A to, you know, meteoric status.
Right.
But we're on the right. We're a bit torn about this. Do you think boycotting works, or is there a place for it? Or
I have a kind of running disagreement with some of my cohorts at Human Events on this, but I do believe it. Look, let's just be honest here, okay? It's hard. I mean, look, I grew up spending my summers at the Dallas Cowboys training facility, right? So I'm a permanently imprinted Dallas Cowboys fan, right? So am I going to quit watching the Cowboys? I wish I could, but I can't. And yeah, but do I watch as many NFL games just like I turn on the TV and it's the Steelers and the Lions? No, I don't watch that anymore. You know, so it's kind of around the edges. You know, it's really hard not to buy stuff from Amazon, right? I mean, come
on.
Thank you. I wish I didn't have to say that. It's like, but it is, because they have an incredible, they have a great system, the best.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So it's very hard to do, but you know what? Do I buy less Coca-Cola products now? Yes, I do. You know, so I think if we can just make some dent in it, it starts to get a message, right? Unless there's something really egregious, which happens sometimes.
Right.
But I think how we vote with our wallets does make a difference long term.
But what I didn't boycott Target, but what I did was I stopped going every week.
Right.
You know, I only went when I really needed something that I was only going to get the best value at Target for. You know, and I think that's a thing that you can do. We don't have to necessarily boycott outright, but you can slow down. And I'm in favor of boycotts, really, where you really support the companies that are doing the stuff that you want.
Yeah, and we need to do a better job of getting the word out about who those companies are.
Yes, that's great. How do we do that? And also, how do we work around the fuss? This is not a real word, but I'm making it one. The fussyism of right-wing consumers, because a great example of this is Black Rifle Coffee, right? I don't know if you saw what was going on with Black Rifle Coffee over the past couple of weeks.
No.
Okay, so they're veteran-owned coffee company, billed themselves as the conservative alternative to Starbucks, doing quite well. A lot of conservatives who didn't want to patronize Starbucks but like their branded coffee went over there. The CEO gave an interview with the New York Times recently, which is a big, huge mistake. Like, why would you're not going to get a fair shake from the New York Times, no matter how kind they are to you. I'm in the reporting business. We will tell you anything to get you to talk to us. So they took some of his words and clipped them and shaved them so that it looked like what he said was, I don't want a conservative base because they're racists and bigots. It's not what he said. He was talking about actual racists and bigots that were like contacting him and sending him emails. But New York Times clipped it to make it look like he was talking about his base, and they suffered greatly. And he's ever since been out there begging conservatives to kind of pay attention to, like, I just got my words twisted. So yeah. Conservative audiences are very fickle. So you've got to get around that. But also, where do you go to find companies that might line up with your values?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I know there's some organizations out there now that are actually working on this kind of as an alternative, and not only to identify the companies as far as who you could purchase from or who you could patronize, but also where you can invest.
Yeah.
You've got all these companies now through BlackRock and so on saying here are the companies that you have to invest in. That's another discussion we can have on a different podcast, the pressure being put on the companies by the financial community and the rating agencies and so on to move in this direction. But there's work being done to develop these kind of lists of companies that we can actually go to and feel like we're doing something for the conservative cause.
I actually like that idea of investing. I didn't think about that. I'm just dipping into having some fun with my stock portfolio. Women are cautious investors, but I never really think about finding the companies that I might want to support and actually investing in those stock portfolios.
Exactly. I know there are a couple of them out there, and they're working on it. And I was at a seminar recently, and I think within the next 30 days or so, you're going to be seeing a lot more about that, which I think will be good.
Do you have any recommendations?
The companies right now? No, I don't want to do that myself. But when the list comes out, I'll make sure you get it.
Okay, fair enough. Let's do that. Well, I guess we should start wrapping up now, but I do want to ask about what is a company that you see, besides your own, obviously, that you see that does this well, that does marketing well, kind of splits the difference between being aware of what's going on, but just serving the base, not really getting in the weeds?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to look for companies that aren't out there really making a political statement. And I think that's still the majority of the companies, I think it's the majority of the companies. And I just think that the key is to look for the ones that get out over the edge and then we make a difference there. But I think the great majority of companies do not get so far out there. You're right about Target. Even Walmart now is becoming more woke. So Sam Walton, I can imagine what he would be thinking.
The Waltons got too rich.
Yeah, but you know what? This in some ways this pays off for these companies. Let me give you an example. They get you've got this connection between these companies and the Congress and bureaucrats who enforce the law. What happened during the pandemic, I think, was particularly hurtful to small businesses. Yes. And some of these woke companies benefited. I like to use this example. It's Target and Walmart. So we had lockdowns, right? Except for groceries and pharmaceuticals in some places, right? Mm-hmm. So what do Walmart and Target have? They have pharmacies, they have pharmaceuticals, and they have groceries, right? Mm. Did they close down the rest of the stores?
No.
The rest of the party serve? No.
No.
So if you're a small company in a small town, and you've got, say, you're in the furniture business, you're not open, but Walmart is. Okay. So there's all kinds of special deals that they get. And it's all, unfortunately, small businesses and those that are usually, frankly, more conservative pay the price.
This is a great point. We had Carol Roth on our show recently. She wrote a great book, The War on Small Business, where she really breaks this down, what happened to small business. And I understand that people are frightened of COVID, and we can have our differences on just how scared we should be. I know I differ from a lot of people, but no matter what your political persuasion, I think we all should be concerned with what happened during the pandemic, where the government basically eminent domained hundreds of thousands of small businesses without compensation, and yet left the law, even though we're supposed to be in this pandemic that's so dangerous that you can't even be outside of your house, left these big box stores open. And when I was a kid growing up with hippie parents, my mom, you know, raised me to believe that corporate capitalism was evil and the worst and bad. And now it seems to have shifted where people on the left are like really touting corporate capitalism and really like taking that side. Well, you know, someone had to be open, and never asking themselves, why can Target's grocery store be open, but your local grocer can't be open, or your local salon can't be open when they do the same safety standards and procedures? Basically, the government handed the big box corporate sector a blank check.
So many of these big companies did really well during the pandemic.
Yeah, didn't they Amazon get like pandemic, $3 trillion?
Yes.
Yeah.
They come out of the pandemic with a running start. And here are the mom and pop stores just barely trying to get by and doing all these things they could to stay afloat and keep their employees. And now they come out, but these big box stores are so far ahead of them. And then, of course, now with the new Delta variant, we're all just standing around waiting, right? That here it comes. And they've been hurt by the fact that you've got service level employees incentivized not to come back to work.
Oh,
so it's the perfect storm for small business. And frankly, what people don't understand, and as you know, I wrote a book about the middle class, is that small business equals middle class. What's happening there affects the entire middle class. And we should be very, very concerned. Having a vibrant, affluent middle class over the past 50 years is what built the greatest economy in the world. And it is in jeopardy right now.
People don't understand this. This is a huge point. Okay, so as the daughter of dirty hippies, I was raised a liberal and I'm a default Democrat because I'm black and that's how it is. But people on this show know that I, over the years, have obviously changed my ideology on this. But the other thing that people don't understand is that when I was growing up, the middle class was something to scoff at. Like, my parents came from the middle class, and so, like, that's what the hippies were, right? That's what the boomers, a lot came from the middle class, resented the middle class. And so I was sort of raised to believe that it was sort of cheesy to aim for that. As a result, I was raised in voluntary poverty, which is weird, but yes. And now that I'm older, I'm like, no, I like the middle class way better than being poor. You know, this is great.
Yep.
But people don't understand. The middle class, the American middle class, is not an issue of elitism or you having the house and the picket fence and the 2.5 kids in the car. That's not what it's about. And when conservatives particularly scream about middle class destruction, we're not just saying it because we're like hypersensitive about Marxism. We're saying it because, statistically speaking, by any measure, by any metric that has ever existed for economics and prosperity, the middle class has been the key to general prosperity for a nation. And America has the best, the biggest, and hell, we're about to have the only one pretty soon, the way things are going across this globe.
You're right. You're right. I mean, you've been to Europe, I'm sure, you know, you don't see much of a middle class there. You got the really wealthy people and you got everybody else just barely making it. Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
That's California.
We're here. Right.
That's how it is in California.
Yes. And so what does that do to innovation? What does it do to research? What does it do to capital formation, to grow businesses and to create industries? It destroys them. And so people, you're exactly right. People need to understand how important having a large, comparatively affluent middle class, what a tremendous advantage that has been for our country.
Yeah, absolutely. I live in California, where the middle class is going the way of Europe. And it is like, somebody tweeted at me the other day, how does anyone, I was tweeted the price of a median price of a home in San Diego, it's $1 million. And someone said, how does anyone survive in California? And I said, paycheck to paycheck, everybody does, even the middle class here. It's just a matter of which lifestyle you want to live, you know? And we choose a lifestyle that will give our, we feel will give our kids the best opportunity. We came from the hood to live this way so that we could, and it's a strain. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's a strain, but we're banking on this presenting opportunities for our kids that they wouldn't have had back in Gary, Indiana, where we came from. But the middle class is disappearing in California. And it's no accident that all of the crazy stories you hear about homelessness and crime and are coming from California. These things go hand in hand. A robust middle class and a safe, prosperous society go hand in hand. They're inseparable. Am I right?
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. The vacuum of that affluent middle class, as many have left and as they've lost their rights and their protections, the vacuum is filled by things that are not good.
Yes. Oh, I'm living proof here in California. I mean, oh my gosh, I'm sure you've seen the stories. And you're in Texas, right?
I live in Tennessee.
You live in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Memphis.
Yes.
Nice. I used to live in Nashville 100 years ago. Back when I was a nomad, I spent a lot of time all over this country, which has done me well in service of this show because I have a lot of different experiences. But you're seeing a lot of Californians come your way now because of what's happening here.
Yes.
Nashville
in particular.
Nashville is crazy right now.
And a lot of people from Illinois, by the way, going to Nashville as well. But of course, a lot of the Californians are going to Arizona and to Texas.
Yes.
So. And everybody's going to Florida. I don't know if you've been to Florida recently, but I tell people Florida is the new Texas. I mean, what Ron DeSantis has done there.
Oh, yeah.
And is just like in the leadership he's shown and then the way he's kind of sold that state and what it stands for. I mean, I see no end in sight in that. And people going to Florida.
It's incredible. What a good business decision, too. I mean, people want to bag on his COVID numbers, but they're. You can't, folks, go back and listen to my episode on headlines and how we manipulate stories. But really, I would say Florida's been a success story with COVID, but he's also making a business decision for his state. So I was saying recently that what's going to happen in the next 10 to 20 years when we're beginning to feel the waves of what we've done the last 2 years is the seat of culture and education in this country is going to be Florida and Texas, two states that blue states hate. But we're actually making them the seat of culture because everyone else is closed. Where's Hollywood going right now? They're going to the Midwest. They're going to Georgia.
Georgia. Yeah.
Texas. Yeah. We're creating a new culture.
As much as Hollywood threatened to leave Georgia, I don't think it's happening.
Oh, come
do you?
On. No. Tell us a little bit about your book and where people can find that.
Oh, thanks. Well, of course, I have to start out saying it's on Amazon, right? So there we go.
Well, you know, hey, that's go. Fine. But you can find it other places, I'm sure.
It's called American Restoration, and it's about how to unshackle the great middle class. And we talk about some of the, some of the things that made the middle class great, some of the threats we have going forward, and kind of a practical business-like approach to how to address some of those issues and hopefully bring the middle class back to its heyday and at least protect it from going further behind.
Yeah, because the middle class is also a stepping stone to the upper class, which people forget about.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people in the middle class forget that there are a lot of people who aspire to be in the middle class.
Right.
I was giving a speech at a seminar, was a seminar about a little over a year ago, and it was a leadership session for young Hispanic people, and it was I got finished and people were standing around talking and coming, and you know, these are mostly college kids, and coming and talking to me, and this one young man came up and said his parents were first generation immigrants and they were operating this kind of appliance store out of their garage, and his objective and their objective for him was to get to the middle class. Mm-hmm. And people forget that that is, for so many people, that's so important. And there are millions of people who aspire to get to that level. And for him was, well, so what does that mean? What are you doing? Well, it's about my education. It's about my really, you know, learning about how to do more things and learn more about our society, what made us great and how to apply those things. It was like, I left there and I was supposed to provide inspiration. I left there and I told the people who hired me to be there, I said, I'm the one that left here inspired.
Nice. You know,
it's like those young people are out there, and we should never forget that. With all the problems we see around us, we need to remember there are those young people out there, and we need to do whatever we can to help them get there.
Amen. What a perfect note to end the show on. Jeff, tell everybody where they can find out more about you and what you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, my book, again, thank you for the plug there, American Restoration. It's Amazon.com. But I'm also co-publisher now and executive news editor at Human Events, nice. Which is a great media platform. It's been around for a long time.
Love Human Events.
Originally a magazine, Ronald Reagan's favorite magazine. We've, with my partner, Will Chamberlain, we've relaunched it, and we're having a lot of fun with it. We're getting some great traction. So Jeff at humanevents.com.
Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey y'all, this is Sarah Lee with Marble Halls and Silver Screens, coming to you today to remind you that if you're curious about all the news coming out of the Marble Halls of Washington, D.C., but don't have the patience for the mainstream media's take on it, this podcast is for you. I cover all the news that breaks over the week from D.C. and then attempt to translate it into what it means for a conservative American audience searching for answers amongst the spin. The Silver Screens part of the program covers the overlap between the entertainment industry and politics, which is significant, and then I offer my own thoughts on some of the newest streaming options and films as they're released. So join me on Fridays for a breakdown of what's happening in politics and movies, and be sure to subscribe to Marble Halls and Silver Screens, an FCB radio podcast, at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and come back soon.
Thanks to Jeff Webb for sitting in on Just Listen to Yourself and offering us some of his wisdom. I hope you picked up some tips. I hope you picked up some interesting little tidbits. I know that I did. And don't worry, we're going to have another mini episode for you this week, so you kind of get the 2-for-1 treatment because we missed last week. We're not missing content, though. We're going to release it. Just the timing didn't work out. As always, thanks so much for sticking with us through these tumultuous times. We'll talk to you really soon here on Just Listen to Yourself.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.